You know, we make choices every day. Have you ever thought about what some of the most important choices we ever make are? You know, the choices we make shape the destiny of our lives. And when you think about the destiny is the throw a rock in a pond and you see those little ripples. Those are the that's the destiny. That's where it's going. Do you realize that every decision we make, it affects how your life is going to be impacted? You make good choices, there's going to be a good impact. You make bad choices, there's going to be not a good impact. A bad impact. So clearly choices are very important, and we would all agree to that. And recently I was looking at some surveys that some had taken, George Barna and of course Pew Research, and they did some really interesting surveys. I don't necessarily agree with the questions. There's others that I might have asked if I was doing a survey. And I don't necessarily, I wouldn't put them in this order. But nonetheless, here are some questions that people that were polled said, here's the five most important questions people ask themselves. Number one, the question that many say they ask is, who will I marry? Number two, what will I choose for my career? Number three, how much education do I need? Number four, where will I live? Number five, how many children will I have? Well, about you, but the first question I would ask is, where am I in my standing with God? I'd want to make sure I was saved. I would want to make sure I know more about Jesus. But again, these are just the mindset of those polled today of what their questions are about making choices about life. And if you notice, there's not any direct questions pertaining to spiritual things. So again, we go back to the statement I made. Every decision we make initially shapes the destiny of how our life will turn out, good or bad. It can be traced back to the choices we made. Every choice has options as well as conditions. And of course, I believe the greatest decision anyone could ever make is, first of all, a decision to receive Christ as their Savior. And the second greatest choice I think we can make as believers is to say, Lord, I want to live and follow the plan you have for my life. Because his plan is best. Our plans might be good, but his plan is best. You can't improve on what God has planned for your life. And so as we look tonight, if you will, take your copy of God's Word, 1 Kings chapter 2. And we'll want to read a passage of Scripture here because we're going to look at King Solomon. Solomon was one of the wisest men who lived. In fact, I mentioned this morning that Ethan was one of the wise men of the day. And there are several others mentioned there in the Kings as well that Solomon is compared to. However, how did Solomon come about being known as the wisest man? Again, it was a choice. It wasn't because he was just a brilliant individual. It was a choice that he made. A choice that he made. And so if you'll look in 1 Kings 2, and let's look beginning in verse 1. The Bible says in verse 1, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies
as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart, with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Let's pray. Father, again with thanksgiving, we're so thankful to have the opportunity to gather in your house once again tonight and for the next few moments. Lord, I ask that you hide me behind the cross. Lord, that you would help me to recall the things that you brought to my heart to share this evening, again reminding us of things we do know about the importance of right choices, and when right choices are made, the blessings that you have and are willing to bestow upon those. But Lord, help us to understand also that the wrong choices don't bring blessing. So help us, Lord, to be reminded of truth, which we know, and may we share it with those in our families, as well as in our workplace, in our classrooms, wherever we find ourselves this week. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as you have already gathered from the text, David is about to pass away. David has come to the end of his journey called life, and he's going to pass. And of course, David has a clear understanding of who God would have him to be, the next king of Israel. And no doubt, David and Bathsheba, they are the parents of Solomon. Now, you remember how David and Bathsheba came about in their relationship. Murder was involved. Deception was involved. Lies were involved. And they had already lost one son. You see, David and Bathsheba had made a choice. They weren't going to continue on the path that they started out on as a couple. David and Bathsheba made a choice and they said, you know what? We're going to put God in his rightful place. We did wrong. We didn't start this relationship off the right way. But we repent. And they purposed in their hearts that they were going to raise Solomon in a right way, making right choices, so Solomon would learn to make right choices and receive the blessings as well. Because David understood better than anybody that when you choose correctly, God blesses, and when you don't, you've got a real chaos on your hands. David's seen the effects of bad decisions in his own family. He had a son who raped a daughter, and the other son killed the other son. There's just nothing but chaos in David's household. And David looked at all this and said, we're going to fix this. And it wasn't that he was going to rule with an iron fist, because that doesn't work. There had to be a change of heart. And David understood that. Bathsheba understood that. And so they said, you know, with Solomon, we're going to raise him up the right way. We're going to train him in the way he should go. We're going to raise him up in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. And that means that the kids have to see the parents and the grandparents making right choices. If they don't see us as grandparents and parents making the right choices, please don't misunderstand this. Don't be disappointed when they don't make good choices. They're just following what they've seen. They've just learned from examples. And so, making right choices, it has that destiny, that ripple effect. And so when we look here, the Bible tells us, if you'll notice, go with me, if you will, now to chapter 3, and let's look here. Well, I'm sorry, chapter 2, and look over chapter 2, and let's look over verse. Okay, I'll get ahead of myself. Hold on. I'll show you the verse in a minute. Now, notice what David says. David said here in the text, he said, show thyself a man. How do you go about showing thyself a man? You see, David had, as I said earlier, he had found himself in bad situations. Those bad situations wasn't just rotten luck. You see, those situations was nothing more than just spiritual laziness. Because he just didn't want to. David didn't go to battle like he had many times before, and because he just didn't want to go, he stayed at home and went on the rooftop with a glass of iced tea, and he's walking around, and he saw someone he shouldn't have seen, and he lusted after another woman, and it went downhill from there. And there was a lot of other choices, the ripple effect, the destiny is being carried out. Because when you start making a wrong choice, you're going to continue down that pattern if you don't pay attention. And that's exactly where David has been. Bathsheba has been. And now they're looking at this. And as a result, they're saying, we don't want this from for Solomon. And so the Bible tells us that Solomon is being anointed as the king. He's going to be the next one in charge. And one night, the Lord came to Solomon, and he told Solomon, the Lord spoke to Solomon in a dream, and he told Solomon, he said, Solomon, he said, what would you like? What can I give thee? Notice, if you will, in verse 5 of chapter 3, God comes to Solomon in the night. And the Bible says here in verse 5, and in Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And notice what God asked Solomon. What shall I give thee? What shall I give thee? You see, Solomon is now the king. Dad has passed off the scene. Solomon is now the king. And David told him, show thyself a man. Make the right choice. Be the man God created you to be. Walk with God. But that means you've got to seek God. You've got to make decisions with God in mind. You can't just go and do whatever you want because you can. He said, you show yourself a man. And no doubt Solomon is processing all this in his mind and thinking, what am I going to do? How is this going to work? How do I lead like Dad did for 40 years? And so he goes to bed that night, and the Lord comes to him in a dream, the Bible says, and asked Solomon. He said, Solomon, what shall I give thee? Do you realize Solomon could have asked for many things? If God came to you tonight and said, what shall I give thee? What would you ask for? Think about that just for a moment. If God came to you tonight in a dream and he called you by name and said, what shall I give thee? You can have anything you want. What would you ask for? Alex, what do you think you would ask for? Okay. Debbie, what would you ask for? Jason, what would you ask for? Gloria, what would you ask for? Cure for cancer. Brother Don, what would you ask for?
Wisdom.
Brother Diaz, what would you ask for? How about you, Daniel? What would you ask for? You know, you think about that. Solomon had many options here. He could say, I want to be as popular and loved by the people. like my dad. What do you think, Reinhard? What would you ask for? Yeah. Well, notice, Solomon's pondering this. God's posed him a question in the dream, and now being a new king. And look at verse 7 there in chapter 3. And notice Solomon's response. He said, "Now, O Lord, my God." Wait a minute. Solomon knows that God is his God? Where did he learn that? I'll tell you where he learned that at. Mom and Dad taught that to him. David and Bathsheba knew what it was like to make decisions without God. They made sure that their son knew who God was. And notice what Solomon said again. "O Lord, my God." He understood he had a relationship with God. He learned from mom and dad he could have a relationship with God. He said, "Now, Lord, you've made thy servant king instead of David, my father. Daddy passed, and you put in his heart to make me the next king." He said, "I have a problem." He said, "I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. I'm making governmental decisions. I'm leading a kingdom. I don't know what to do." Oh, he could do it. He could imitate it like he saw his dad do. He grew up in the palace. He could make it look good, but he may not know the reasons behind the decisions. He says, "Thy servant." Do you see how Solomon's identifying himself? "Thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered or counted for multitude." And notice what he says. "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad." Good choices, bad choices. Good advice, bad advice. "For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" And notice what the Bible says in verse 10. "The speech pleased the Lord." God said, "I'm glad to hear you say that. That was the right answer." Solomon did not know that on his own. Mom and Dad taught him that. He learned that. He's not some Einstein that just figured this out. He doesn't have wisdom at this point. Somebody taught him how to make a good choice. Notice, he asked the Lord in verse 9 for an understanding heart. And notice, verse 12, the Bible says, "Behold, Solomon, yes, Lord, according to thy word, lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart." Done. Wow. Wow. You see, Solomon was asking for wisdom. And of course, wisdom is a skill to live life, not as you think best, not as I think best. Wisdom comes from God, and wisdom is the ability to live life according to God's plan. And this understanding. And again, where did Solomon get this? He is not the wisest man yet. Where did he get this? Mom and Dad taught it to him. This was taught. Can I just say this, and you know this, some of you have been parenting much longer than I've been alive. But this is taught, it's not caught. This isn't something you're just going to figure it out. Because the Dr. Spock mentality of let them figure it out, how much of destruction do they have to bring into their life before they figure, well, that wasn't a good choice. You see, they didn't have to make any bad choices to start with. Had they been taught properly? Had they been instructed properly? But who has time to do that? I'm busy. I got meetings. I got stuff to do. Who has time for kids? Then don't have them. Now, again, I'm talking primarily to the majority here tonight that has raised their families. And some are raising their families. Heed God's word. Heed God's word. There'll be a day for those that are in those years of what we would call the family years. When you do have family, make sure you raise them and instruct them in the right things. Don't let this world tell them what's right and wrong. They don't even know what a man and a woman is. You teach them. You are male, you are female, and God raised men, created men, and this is what men do. You show yourself a man, this is a woman, and this is what women do. God has a plan for both of them, and God's plan is perfect for both of them. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 2 and verse 6, the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. You see, Solomon, by him asking for wisdom, he was showing the Lord that he wanted God's perspective on how he should walk in life. And how he should walk in... Well, you know, you talk to a lot of people today, and you'll meet some... Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. I know. Oh, don't tell me I know. That is not wisdom. That's not wisdom. And Solomon is looking and saying, you know, the best perspective. You say, well, how did Solomon know? How did he know to have this perspective? Beloved, I think here's what happened at some point in Solomon's life. There was a time in Solomon's past when he was growing up, when I think David sat down in a chair in the living room, and he said, Mama, and she sat in her chair, and Solomon sat right there. And they said, you know, son, your mama was married before, and I had her husband murdered. You see, we made some bad choices. We committed adultery. And that's because I was lustful. Solomon, we don't want that for your life. You see, my son Amnon was killed by Absalom. And do you know why Absalom killed Amnon? And then Joab, he got his hair caught in the tree, Absalom did. And Joab pumped him full of arrows, and he died just like Amnon. Do you know why? Because Amnon raped Absalom's sister. Son, that broke my heart more than you'll ever know. I don't ever want you to go through that. Well, preacher, I just think some things just need to be kept quiet. And go ahead and let the family keep making bad choices and have more destruction and more trouble. Excuse me, you're living in a culture that has followed that philosophy. Do you think it's made life better or worse? Solomon and Bathsheba said, "Huh, we're coming clean. We've come clean with God, and now Solomon is at the age of understanding, and we're going to teach him and say, don't make these decisions. Don't go there." That's where Solomon got his perspective. Again, he hasn't got wisdom from God yet. He's just now been asked by God, what would you like to have? Well, I just don't think we ought to be telling everything. Then go ahead and let them make the same mistakes you make or worse. Because evil men making bad decisions only make more bad decisions. Solomon was showing a perspective, and I believe that's where he got that perspective, was on the home front. It wasn't other people instructing his children. It was him instructing his own children. By the way, that's Bible. Parents, train up your child. That's part of where that process begins, in the home. Note God's response, as we've already alluded to it already in verse 11. God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, you didn't ask for riches, nor hast thou asked the life of your enemies, but you asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done." It's already a done deal. He made the right choice. The most important thing in this life is God's will for your life. Do you realize the most important decision for your life is to choose God's life? The plan He has for it. He created you with a plan for your life. You say, "Well, when my mother said I was born, I didn't have a manual tied to my toe." No, but He put the manual in writing so we could read it. And God had a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. But we have to teach them that. It's not caught, it's taught. And so as a result, Solomon is looking at this and he's making a choice. And this is going to set Solomon up for the next 40 years of his rule of Israel. Can I ask you a question? How do you make choices? How do you make choices? Oh, you know, we were talking about choices in the beginning. You'll remember some of those questions. I said, "Well, who do I marry?" How did you choose who you married? How did you choose the career that you have? How did you determine how much education you needed? How did you determine where you would live? How did you know when you had enough children? If you had children, how did you know the answers to your life's questions? And there's a dozen other questions we could come up with. How do you choose? How do you make your choices? David and Bathsheba said, "Son, hear us. Show yourself a man. Make good choices. He will be your God if you'll ask Him to be. But it's a personal relationship. Me and Mom made some decisions and they weren't good. And we've paid dearly for it." I remember Grandma Bean. She was a widow in our church. Some knew her as Mama Bean. I knew her as Grandma Bean. And Grandma and I, one time, she had two sons, Charlie and Lee. And I buried both of them. Lee went first, and then Charlie went. And we buried Charlie over by Poto. We got over there, or left early here in Lawton that morning, got over there to the funeral, and we had the funeral service, and afterwards, they had the family come by, and Grandma got there, and I stood by her. She looked in there, and she said, "Preacher, parents should not have to bury their kids." And I watched Grandma weep. And I joined in with her. Those are things that you can't explain. We don't know the answers to them. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven that does know the answer. And we got in that car and was driving back to Lawton. And she told me, she said, "Well, at least they both knew the Lord." I said, "Grandma, that's the most important thing, isn't it?" Who was it earlier? Mrs. Plunk said that all five of her kids know the Lord. Boy, that's a wonderful blessing, isn't it? We see Solomon. Solomon has made his choice. Solomon's going to rule 40 years just like his father David. And for the first 20 years, of David's or Solomon's life, he does a lot that pleases God. And God blesses him because Solomon is seeking the Lord. But as you notice in the last 20 years of Solomon's life, he really makes some bad choices. While you're in the world, you're not to be of the world. And Solomon started forgetting that conversation that at some point in time in his past, he had with dear old mom and dad there at the home front. And so he started, "Well, she's a hottie. She's cute. Well, yeah, she does believe things differently than I do. We're not on the same page, different gods. But it's just a little religion difference." And so Solomon started marrying all these pagan wives who worshiped other gods. And you know how it works. "Oh, come on, honey. I went to worship with you at your God. Now you come to my church and worship with me at my God." But your God's pagan. There's only one true God. Amen? And slowly over that next 20 years, what happened to Solomon's heart? You've read it. His heart changed. And the outcome wasn't good. You see, there are those today that are even walking around, generations today, that are wondering even if there is a God or if God exists. Wow. You know, they have no perspective of who God is. And do you know why that is? Because nobody took the time to teach him. Perhaps they stuck him in front of the TV for 12 hours a day. Or they had them sit and watch YouTube videos or I Want My MTV. And they let them raise them. Well, guess what? They didn't get a godly perspective. They never had the Solomon education that Solomon received from David and Bathsheba. Their parents were never around. So when we look at this, many will make poor choices. and then they'll recalculate those bad choices. And then they'll say, well, I'm going to do it differently. But they're still on the path of bad choices because they don't know any other way. If you'll notice in verse 12 of chapter 3, God said, behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any rise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, riches and honor, and so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Then he says, and if thou wilt walk in my ways. Notice the word if. That's a condition. He said, if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream, and he came to Jerusalem. He stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, offered up burnt offerings, and offered peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants. Solomon, don't forget verse 12. And if thou wilt. That phrase, if thou wilt, God is simply telling him, make the right choice. Because life is all about one choice, and another choice, and another choice, and another choice, and the choices establish destiny. The life that is set before God was one that could be blessed. Today, you and I can look at our lives. And I don't know if you can, but I can look at my life and see where at times I made some bad choices. And I wanted to go off this way, and God said, no, that's not my plan for your life. This is. But Lord, I think law would be a little more my thing. No, that's not where I want you to go. I want you to go this way. But sometimes we think we know better, don't we? You'll hear us make statements like this of humanity. Well, it's my life, my choice. You're right, it is your choice. You're right, it is your life. God just says, make the right choice. Well, how am I going to do that? Thank God for wise counsel. That should first and foremost be the home. Well, what if you don't have a home? A godly home. Thank God for godly counsel. Not just any counsel, it has to be godly counsel. Today, as you look at your life, could you say there have been moments in your life, like I can say that there are in mine, of where I could have made better choices? There's times I lost. I missed out. Now, I am so thankful that we have a God in heaven who loves us unconditionally, and nothing can separate us from that. And I'm thankful that when we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us. But please understand, He doesn't rewind the tape and let us have a do-over. That moment of time is gone. You don't get it back. And that might be a day, an hour, a week. It could be a decade or two. It could be a half a century. I don't know. That's why it's so important to say, you know what, Lord? All I've got to do for you and glorify you is in this life. I want to use it to the best of my abilities. So I want to make good choices. Good choices. And so looking at our lives, Look at those choices you've made or are making, or maybe you've got some choices coming up ahead of you you need to make. Understand, those choices carry an impact. They have options with them. And God's plan, and I hope we all know this, but I hope we understand that God's plan is the best. What God has planned for my life, what God has planned for your life, you cannot improve upon that. His ways, His plan for your life and mine are perfect. The question is, have we sought His plan, or are we seeking our own? Well, I think I know what I need. No, I don't. Bob, when he starts thinking he knows what he needs, gets himself in trouble. And then Bob finds out what he thought would bring him satisfaction didn't bring him satisfaction. And so then he says, well, I guess I made a bad choice. Can you relate to that at all? Have you ever done that? I guess I'm the only one. But the point is, realize that God's plan is the best. It's perfect for your life and for mine. Where does it begin? Of course, it begins at salvation. But after we begin walking with the Lord, and we learn to develop that way with the Lord, we want to grow in knowledge and in grace and learn more about Him. As the old hymn says, more about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show. How well would you say that you know Him? How much time do you really consult with Him about those decisions in your life? Lord, what should we do? Lord, how should we go about doing it? If you're trying to follow Him, but you're still trying to establish your own ways and doing your things, and say, Lord, bless this. I made this choice. God says, I know. You never asked me about it. No. I don't bless those decisions that aren't a part of my plan for your life. But when you do seek God's plan, notice what He does. He told Solomon, I'll give you all those other things that you would like to have, but didn't ask for. Because God says, I know then that if I give you those riches, you'll ask me, how should I do this? How should I do that? You'll use that life not to be selfish and do what you want. You'll use that long life to tell others about me. God says, you'll use what I've given you properly. Tonight, I want to ask you to look at your life and look at your choices and look at your families and friends and say, how can I encourage them to make good choices? Because that's something we have to teach. It's not caught. As I've said it a couple of times before, it's taught. And we're living in a world today that doesn't teach this. You just do whatever you think works best for you. That's horrible advice. That's horrible counsel. You could put that person on a destructive path that could ultimately lead them to having never received Christ as their Savior and spend an eternity in hell. That's horrible advice. We want to encourage them and say, listen, let's go back to this old home front. David and Bathsheba sat down and said, we've sinned. And whenever that age was that they sat with Solomon, they established something with Solomon very precious because, as we read earlier, the Lord came to Solomon in a dream and spoke to him and said, "Ask what you want. What would you have me to give you or do for you?" And Solomon understood that he had a relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and David and Bathsheba. Oh, they weren't perfect, but they were forgiven. And aren't you glad tonight? We are too. And we have people that we have the ability to influence, to encourage, and may we do just that. To encourage, to make good choices, so their lives can be blessed, just like we enjoy blessings that God blesses our lives with because we made good choices. I hope to make more good choices, don't you? But that involves seeking Him first and foremost. Tonight, if you would stand with me, please. We're going to extend an invitation to you. And as we extend an invitation to you this evening, we have music on.